Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
All right, today we're continuing our series, I Am, as we're talking about Jesus in his own words, looking at the I Am statements of Jesus. Last week, we were in John chapter 10. We looked at Jesus, I am the door. This week, we're going to continue in John chapter 10 as well. And we know that there were seven times where Jesus used the term I Am and connected it with areas of our greatest need throughout the book of John. And These seven statements, we call them the I Am statements. Jesus takes the most holy name of God, Yahweh in Hebrew, Jehovah in the Latin, and he applies it to himself. And he applies it to some of those great needs of brokenness. For instance, to those who were experiencing just a hunger. I just have this need, this hunger. He says, I am the bread of life. For those that were needing kind of in the dark, just needing some revelation, some fresh revelation, some light, he said, I am the light of the world. For those that were in need of protection, last week we learned, I am the door. And today we're going to come to the most one of the most famous of the I Am statements today. For those who feel isolated, for those who feel abandoned or alone, Jesus says this, John chapter 10, starting in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. These verses are that continuation of what we were talking about last week. And also the context of this comes on the heels of a story in John chapter 9 where there was a man who was born blind. We talked about this last week. And Jesus had healed the man. But it happened to be the Sabbath day and Jesus' methods were a bit unorthodox. And for that reason and Jesus' popularity, the religious leaders were not too happy about it. And so they were harassing this man who had been born blind, had been born with this great need. And there in his life, all of a sudden, he is touched. He meets Jesus. He's touched. The miraculous happens and he is healed. Can you imagine that? And rather than celebration, this man is brought in by these religious leaders. He is interrogated, and eventually at the end, he is kicked out of their club, kicked out of the synagogue, not allowed to worship with them because he will not say that Jesus is a false prophet and not the Messiah. Who do you say he is? He said, I don't know. All I know is this. I was blind, but now I see. In John chapter 8, there was a story of a woman who was being used and manipulated in her own sinfulness in order to catch Jesus. She is caught in the very act of adultery, thrown at Jesus' feet. And they said, our law says to stone her, what do you say we should do? Publicly shamed. These are the stories that lead up to Jesus sharing this particular passage of scripture where he says, I'm the good shepherd of the sheep. But there are others that are hired hands. And when you take a look at this and you see that Jesus often is the one who is filled with compassion. There are examples throughout scripture where the Israel is compared to a shepherd or a sheep, the people of Israel looking for a shepherd. And Jesus looks out over them and sees that they are helpless. They are harassed like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus has compassion for them. And Jesus uses these analogies coupled with the stories that are leading up to this to say, I am the true. That's what good means. I am the true. I am the authentic. I am the one of beauty. I'm the true good shepherd of the sheep. It's not just that I'm a good person. It's that I'm the authentic shepherd. I'm the true shepherd. And he's contrasting with a famous passage of scripture prophetically in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 34, while the leaders of Israel at the time, political and religious leaders, had gotten very selfish, had led the people into worshiping other gods, had taken advantage of people, all kinds of things. And so in Ezekiel chapter 34, he is prophesying against these leaders who had failed to shepherd Israel, and as a result, the sheep had scattered. They had failed to protect the sheep. And Jesus similarly said that these religious leaders were no different. They didn't truly care about the sheep. They were scattering the sheep. They didn't truly love the sheep. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Do you know some of the most famous characters in the Bible were shepherds? They were shepherds. You might have some in your mind, but Adam and Eve's son Abel was the first of those shepherds, wasn't he? In fact, he went and offered the firstborn of his flock, pure and spotless, offered the firstborn of his flock to God in sacrifice, and his offering was received. Abel was a shepherd. Abraham and his son Isaac, and then their son Jacob, they were all shepherds. Abraham. Perhaps you might think of Moses after fleeing from Egypt. Moses became a shepherd out in the wilderness for 40 years, and it became a training ground in leadership as God was then going to allow him to be able to lead his people like sheep. Perhaps the most famous shepherd, though, is King David, right? He's a young shepherd boy who became Israel's shepherd king. And prophetically speaking, God would promise a Messiah through David's reign who would shepherd and be the next shepherd king of Israel, Jesus. And here he is in John chapter 10, Jesus taking all of these analogies in Israel's history and using the prophetic name, the name of God, Yahweh, Jehovah, and attaching it to himself, but saying, I am the good shepherd of the sheep. Today, in contrast to those who were currently leading Israel, Jesus contrasts himself and he begins to use this idea of hirelings in himself to kind of show us four qualities today of a true shepherd. Four qualities of the good shepherd. I want to take a look at that today. Number one, he's a protective shepherd. This goes along with and kind of piggybacks on what we talked about last week when Jesus said, I am the door. Again, when he uses this, I am the good shepherd, he is contrasting it with those that have not been so good. Verses 11 and 12, let's go back and look at them again. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Understand what Jesus is saying here is the good shepherd is committed to the sheep. He's committed to the sheep. Even when danger comes, he's committed to the sheep, even to the place of putting his own life on the line, if it costs him everything. But on the other hand, the hireling, that would be a day wage person, a person that was just kind of hired in. They didn't own the sheep. They were just hired in. They were just brought in and asked to take care of the sheep for a little while. And what he says is when there's danger, when there's a wolf, when there's something else, when there's a better offer that comes along, anything, forget about it. I'm out of here, baby. I'm gone, right? No personal care, no concern. Fleeing at the sight of danger. Verse 13, he flees because he's a hired hand. And really, here's the point, cares nothing for the sheep. Last summer, my family and I had the opportunity to go on vacation to Surfside Beach down just south of Myrtle Beach. We like to go there and got a great deal on a place staying right on the beach. And every morning we would be out on the porch drinking coffee and we'd watch as some folks would come and they had chairs and umbrellas that people had purchased and bought. They would set them up early in the morning for people all on the beach. So they'd drive up in their, you know, whatever it was, whatever they had, and they plop them down, the two chairs and the umbrellas, and they had this thing they'd dig in, and we'd watch that every morning. Well, one morning they had set everything up only to have just a really quick, all of a sudden, this big storm started blowing in. And I could see them. We're sitting on the porch, and I could see them driving down, trying to put the umbrellas down, trying to grab the chairs, trying to make sure everything was set. But man, the storm was coming really quick. And all of a sudden, as the storm came in and lightning, man, I gotta tell you, that young kid that was out, he ran for the hills, right? He just ran. And that umbrella and those chairs, man, the ones that were still there, they didn't get to, man, they were blowing all over the place. I'm pretty sure some of them were probably bent and broken. And I thought to myself, I wouldn't blame that guy. But one of the things when I was reading this that I thought, you know what? That's a hireling. But if it was the owner of that property, he might have pushed through the storm a little bit more to make sure he protected his property. You see, that's the difference between the hireling and the good shepherd. The hireling at the first sight of danger won't have anything that costs him himself. He'll just run away. But Jesus is the true good shepherd. He doesn't run away. He protects the sheep. He protects the sheep. He protects them from danger, even if it means putting his own life in danger. To fully understand this, we have to understand the nature of sheep and also the fact that we are called sheep. Do you know you're a sheep? In Scripture, you're called sheep. It's one of the descriptions that we're giving in Scripture. If Jesus is the shepherd, we're the sheep. The problem is that's not such a great thing. Sheep are helpless. In fact, one pastor that I read put it this way. He said, a sheep without a shepherd in the wild is a meal. A sheep without a shepherd in the wild is a meal. Sheep are often, they're often dumb. They follow wherever. They head down. They're just eating whatever they see, whatever catches their attention. There they go. If some other sheep decide to go, they don't even know. They just follow wherever they want to go. They get lost very easily. Sometimes they get cast where they fall over and their little feet are in the air and they can't get themselves back over again. They are dependent upon the shepherd. They have no ability to be able to protect themselves. They have no ability to be able to take care of themselves. They are utterly dependent upon the shepherd. I read about a missionary to Muslims in the rural Middle East where shepherding is still something that's happening. And he said that when he was explaining a parable that Jesus shares within the Scriptures about what's to come, a parable about the sheep and the goats, and that in the last days that it's going to come a time where the sheep are going to be separated from the goats. How many have heard that story before? Right? The sheep is separated from the goats. And when he got to that place and he says the sheep are separated from the goats, and he said, and then Jesus is going to take the sheep, the Muslim said, whoa, that can't be right. And he said, why? Why can't that be right? He said, because a shepherd would never take sheep over goats. Sheep are time intensive. Goats, by contrast, take care of themselves. Every shepherd prefers goats, he says. The missionary said, well, yes, but God wants sheep, not goats, because he wants us to depend on him, to depend on him, not because he's controlling, not because he's domineering. That goes against everything of our independent Western mindset that we have, that we've been raised. I got to, again, if it's going to be done, it's going to be done by me. I've got to do it. Understand that faith is depending upon God. It's understanding that we are helpless, that we are in need of a shepherd, that we are sheep, that we wander, that we get ourselves in trouble, that we find ourselves in places that we shouldn't be, and where we need rescue, where we need provision. And Jesus is the one who loves us and protects us. I talked about this last week when I pointed to the makeshift pen for the sheep out in the country, where they would have a makeshift pen, and they would put the sheep in there at night, but there was no door on that makeshift pen. And that's what Jesus was referring to when he said, I am the door, because the shepherd would lay down to protect the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down and gives his life for the sheep. King David began his life as a shepherd. I shared that earlier. He penned one of the most famous psalms. How many love the 23rd Psalm? Anybody ever love the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, right? Oh, that's such a good one. I came across something as I was studying this week. I wanted to share it with you. This is so good. I want to take and they broke down this psalm. And this is how they describe the promises of God through this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. That means his protection is near me. The Lord is my shepherd. His protection is near me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. His protection is beneath me. He leads me beside the still waters. That means his protection is beside me. He leads me in paths of righteousness. That means his protection is ahead of me. He restores my soul. His protection is within me. He prepares a table. His protection is around me. You sit around a table around me. In the presence of mine enemies, his protection is against those who are against me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. His protection is for me. Remember, Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us, right? He anoints my head with oil. His protection is upon me. My cup overflows. His protection is above me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. His protection is behind me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His protection is before me. There is nowhere you can go. And there is nothing you can do to get away from his presence. Nothing you can do to get away from his presence. Psalm 139, 7 to 10, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. David literally says there is nowhere that you and I can go where God's presence cannot reach us or be with us or surround us. The good shepherd surrounds us with his love. He protects us. Secondly, he is a personal shepherd. Can I just say, out of all of the I am statements that Jesus shares, this is the most personal. I'm the bread of life. He provides for us. I'm the light of the world. He reveals things to us. I'm the door. I stand in the way and that protection. I'm the resurrection, the life. These are things he does for us, but this is who he is to us. This is relational. I am the good shepherd of the sheep. It's the most personal part of this. The others are great, and we're going to talk about the resurrection and the life when we get to Easter. But John 10:14, I'm the good shepherd. Look at this. I know my own, and my own know me. Friends, that's personal. That's personal. In that 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. This is a personal thing. Douglas MacMillan, he was a Scottish pastor, but for 12 years, he had actually been a real-life shepherd. He wrote a book entitled The Lord Our Shepherd, and he told a story about how he was on a train one time with a friend of his who was also a shepherd. And 3 weeks before this, his shepherd friend he was on the train with had sold some of his lambs. And as they pulled out of the train station, they passed a flock of sheep that happened to be right there near the track. And his friend looked out and he goes, oh, there's four of my lambs. Those are four of my sheep. And he said, you know what? I didn't question him and go, oh, you're just making that up. Really? You can tell out of all of those sheep which four are your little lambies? He said, I didn't have to question that because I know from being a shepherd that every shepherd knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. In his book, he also talked about when the shepherd would go out with his flock, he would make sure to make eye contact with every single one of them. He said this, as I watched over them as they scattered about to graze, I'd find a high place of ground where I could look out and watch for any danger. If a fox or a wolf would come, I'd scare the danger away. Then I'd get back up and I would make eye contact with every one of my sheep to make sure none of them was missing. When Jesus says that I know the sheep, I'm the good shepherd of the sheep, understand this, he knows you personally. He knows you personally. Earlier in John chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and then get this, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls them by name. There's something powerful about names, isn't there? It's intimate. When somebody knows your name, when they greet you by name, not just so-and-so, but they know your name. How many of you know there's a window in your soul when somebody calls your name? When they know your name. When they call your name, he knows their name. They might recognize as a group his whistle or his voice or his call, but he knows them personally and he calls them by name. It got me thinking about people Jesus called by name in Scripture. Luke chapter 19, there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. He was lost. He was somebody that didn't have a lot of friends. He had taken advantage of people. He had been selfish in his life, but he was searching. Luke 19, 3 and 4, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not see because he was small in stature. He was a shorty. So he ran on up ahead and he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And look what happens. Jesus coming into town. This man is searching. His man is searching. Look at verses 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he didn't just pass by. He looked up and he said to him, look what he says. Jesus entering town. How would he, look what Jesus, Zacchaeus. He says his name. He calls his name. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I'm going to stay at your house today. And how did he respond? He hurried and came down and received him joyfully. He didn't pass him by. He knew him personally. He called him by name and made all the difference in the world. My sheep know my voice. When I call, they follow. Zacchaeus followed. How about John chapter 11? Again, we're going to focus on this Easter Sunday, but I can't get away from it. There's a friend of Jesus. He's been dead and in his own grave, tomb, whatever you want to call it, for 4 days. His name is Lazarus. Jesus shows up on the scene and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. He got up and came out of that grave. Come on, there's something powerful when Jesus calls your name. There's something powerful when Jesus calls your name. When Jesus calls your name and he calls you out and he invites you. I got one more. I love this one and I've used it before. I love it. It's just, it's awesome. It's all about the resurrection as well. But Mary didn't know it. Mary was one of Jesus' followers. She had been grieving. She watched Jesus die. She was there at the cross. She watched where they put them early in the morning. She had went. They didn't find a body. His body wasn't there. She's standing there. She couldn't even believe it when there were angels trying to tell her. She didn't believe it. She didn't know what was going on. John chapter 20, 15 and 16. She's just grieving. You ever lost somebody? You're just stuck in your grief. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And look, supposing him to be the gardener. She said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. Jesus is right there. Sir, where you laid him? Where are you at? You're the gardener. I don't even recognize you. I didn't recognize you until Jesus said to her, Mary. I just stop right there. Mary, all of a sudden she turned, Rabboni, teacher. Are you getting this? There's something about when Jesus calls your name. Friends, are you hearing it? Jesus is calling your name. There are some of you that Jesus is calling today. He is the good shepherd and he knows you. You might be filled with anxiety. You might be filled with grief. You might be going through all kinds of things and you are just running around like a little sheep all scattered and not knowing where to go. But Jesus leaves the 99 and he goes and finds you and he calls you by name and he says, you are mine. Come, follow me. You are mine. Come, follow me. That's the good shepherd of the sheep. He loves us. He's personal. He's a providing shepherd. We talked about that during communion, right? He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. John 10:3. Several times in the language that this is used, it says that he leads them out. Can I tell you the difference between the way shepherding is done here in our Western world and the way it was done in the East? In the Western world, you get sheep dogs, you get these herding dogs, you know, they're wonderful. I used to have a German shepherd, they're wonderful, right? But you get them and they go behind and they circle around and they drive the sheep. Maybe the shepherd's on a horse, he's helping, they're driving the sheep, they're pushing the sheep, they're driving the sheep to get them where they go. In the East, that's not the way it was. In the East, the shepherd would be out and he would call to the sheep. sheep, and he would lead them, not drive them. The difference with Jesus is, Jesus isn't going to drive you, but he is going to lead you. He is going to invite you. And where is he leading you? He's leading you out into pastures where he can provide for you, where he can take care of you, where he can lead you into green pastures, where he can lead you beside still waters, where he can lead you to a place where he will restore your soul from this world that has a tendency to really break our soul. There's a lot of broken souls. There's a lot of people who are hurting by the brokenness of this world. Jesus wants to lead you to a place where he will lead you, where he wants to restore your soul, where he wants to walk you through and lead you through the valley of the shadow of death so that you don't have to fear any evil, because he's standing there with his rod and his staff, and he is comforting you and protecting you and preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies, where he's coming to provide anointing oil for your head to keep those pesky flies away and the disease away and everything that wants to distract you and keep you away, where he wants to provide for you. He provides for you. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23:1 in the New Living, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I have all that I need. Listen, the good shepherd provides all that you need. This world offers a lot of things. I talked about it last week. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. There is a world that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. There is an enemy that wants to destroy your life, and he continues to put all kinds of things that says, this is going to satisfy. Follow this, and this is going to make you happy. Do this, and this is what brings you joy. Oh, post this and get a lot of likes, and then you'll feel good about yourself. Until you don't. Until you see that somebody left you out and didn't invite you, and then your heart is broken, or that relationship you just thought you had to have because that guy was just going to take care of you and he was going to provide for you, and all he did was rape your heart and take advantage of you. Your good shepherd's not going to do that. He provides. I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. There's a lot of voices calling you and telling you what you need. But there is a voice that is calling you by name, a good shepherd that knows you and is calling your name and is inviting you to life and life abundantly. Oh, and he's a propitiatory shepherd. You say, what in the world? What does that word mean? That's a theological word. I needed another P, okay, for my outline, right? And it really does fit, because it's a word that means substitute. We did it during communion. I kind of gave away my message. Substitute or sacrifice. Propitiatory. I'm the good shepherd of the sheep. Verse 11, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Listen, when it comes to sheep and shepherds, who's more valuable, the sheep or the shepherd? The shepherd is. The shepherd's more valuable than the sheep. All right, let me put it a different way. You're like, really? Let me put it a different way. All right. The President of the United States has Secret Service detail, right? And the Secret Service detail is there to protect the president. Who's more important, the Secret Service detail or the president? The president. Thank you for helping me out here and being honest. How do I know that? Because have you ever seen a president take a bullet for a Secret Service person? Have they ever stepped in front of a bullet for a Secret Service person? But a Secret Service person steps in front of a bullet for the president. Listen, the sheep are not as valuable as the shepherd, but the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It doesn't make sense, but in Jesus' world, you and I are so valuable that he steps in and he took the bullet for us and he took our place and he stepped in. David was a great, great, great shepherd king of Israel, but even David couldn't lead up to Jesus. In fact, David was considered a great shepherd. Psalm 78:72 says, with an upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with a skillful hand. But there was a time in David's life, he didn't go out to war with everybody else. He stayed back and he got himself just up on a roof and he saw a lady that was bathing, and he said, I gotta have her. And he ended up committing adultery with her, and she got pregnant, and then he had to figure out how to cover it up. And so one of his most loyal, one of his most loyal subjects, one of his most loyal guys who was out on the battle, brought him home, tried to coerce him to so he can cover it up, and he didn't, and he sent him out to the front lines and arranged for his death out on the front lines. Even David, a shepherd who was considered a great shepherd king of Israel, when it came down to it, protected himself rather than protecting someone in his flock. But then we come to Jesus, and Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. When it came to his time in the garden, when it came to his time at the cross, Jesus didn't offer up anyone else who had betrayed him. Jesus gave his life for the sheep. Jesus gave his life for the sheep. Father Maximilian Kolbe was part of the German resistance to the Nazi movement. He'd been in public with an objection to the Nazi regime. And in 1941, he was sitting at his desk praying when Nazis burst into his home and arrested him for publishing unauthorized material. He was sentenced to the notorious Auschwitz camp. Conditions there were harsh. Life expectancy was about 5 months. And yet, despite the cold, the heat, and the hunger, and the grueling labor, Father Kolbe used every opportunity to serve his fellow prisoners. One day, in the middle of that summer heat, a prisoner from Father Kolbe's barracks escaped. So in retaliation, the prison guard lined up every prisoner in the barrack and said that 10 of them were going to be put into the starvation bunker to die as punishment. The guard was going to choose 10 of these people at random. He chose the guy next to Father Kolbe, and the guy started to weep for his wife and his children. But Father Kolbe reached his hand, stopped the man, stepping forward. He took his place, and the guard allowed it to happen. The prison guard looked up, laughed, shook his head. Father Kolbe went into the starvation bunker in this guy's place. Several days passed. Prisoners said that instead of the cries of anguish that they usually hear and madness coming from the bunker, instead they heard faint sounds of hymns that were being sung in that dreadful place. Father Kolbe brought peace and joy to the other 9 in their final moments. They said that when the doors to the bunker were finally open, they found Father Kolbe's body sitting against a wall with what looked like a peaceful smile on his face. The man whose place he took went on to live until he was 95 years of age. And the rest of his life, he took that chance to honor Father Kolbe, who was the man who had laid down his life for him. And that sounds like the gospel. So many elements except one. And that is, that man, unlike Jesus, that man didn't do anything to betray Father Kolbe, but Jesus took our place even when we had betrayed him and we were the ones deserving of the punishment. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. How do you know the true shepherd? How do you know the true shepherd? To a confused group of Israelites, Jesus said, the true shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Worship team, will you come? Jesus has revealed himself as the good shepherd, friends, one who is personal. One who is protecting, one who is providing, one who is propitiatory, substitutionary. And today, perhaps you're lost. Perhaps you find yourself wandering. And today, the Good Shepherd is calling your name. And he's inviting you to come and to put your faith in him, to allow him to be a personal shepherd, for him to take your place, to take your sin, to allow you to experience the abundant life. He's calling, he's inviting you. Will you follow his lead today? Will you follow his lead today? He's personal and not distant. Perhaps you're filled with anxiety and fear. I'm going to just close with one final story. Alan Emery, a business leadership guru, spent early years in the wool industry, and he wrote a book called A Turtle on a Fence Post. I think that's pretty funny. A turtle on a fence post. How did the turtle get there? Somebody had to put him there. That's not the story, but that's one in the book where it gets its title from. But he talks about a shepherd friend of his that he went out with late one night on a Texas prairie. The shepherd had lit a ginormous roaring bonfire to keep warm, and all the sheep were around it. Everyone was around the bonfire. The shepherd was there himself and his friend that was there with him. He had 3 trusty sheepdogs and a couple thousand sheep. He said suddenly coyotes started howling in the distance, and Alan said you could feel the entire place just tense with fear. But then Alan said that as he looked out over the sheep, he saw something that he would never forget. Thousands of small lights reflecting back at him. Go ahead and put that picture up if we have that. Go ahead and put that picture up if we have it. It's up. Okay, there it is. I'm sorry, I didn't see it in the back. Thousands of little lights. Right? What is that? The sheep weren't tearing around in panic. They weren't scattering when there was the tenseness of fear. Where were they looking to? They were looking to their shepherd. They were looking to their shepherd. Friends, today, if you're filled with fear and anxiety, can I invite you? Don't go running all around. Look to your shepherd. Get your eyes on your shepherd. Because when your eyes are on your shepherd, then you'll find your peace. That's when you'll find your peace. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much today that you're the good shepherd of the sheep. Oh, Jesus, we're like sheep. We get ourselves in trouble. We wander off. We get into danger. We try to find pastures that are not where you've led us. They lead us to places we shouldn't be. Oh, Jesus, we thank you that you know us by name, that you call us by name, that you lead the 99 to find the one, that, Lord, you are compassionate. And so today, I just pray that, Lord, you will help us to keep our eyes on you, the good shepherd, and that we'll find in you a shepherd who protects and a shepherd who is personal, a shepherd who provides and a shepherd who is our substitute, who takes our place. If you're here this morning and maybe you need to put your faith in the good shepherd, Jesus, you say, you know, I need to put my faith in Jesus. I need to follow his lead. He's calling me. I need his forgiveness. I need his mercy. I need him to be the substitute in my place for my sin. If that's you, will you slip up your hand this morning? You just need Jesus. I need Jesus this morning. I need Jesus this morning. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're filled with anxiety and fear. Maybe something has come and you've gotten your eyes in other places and you've just been nervous. And today you say, I need to put my eyes back on the good shepherd today. If that's you, will you say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I need to put my eyes on the shepherd today. I need to put my eyes on the shepherd today. Thank you. Father, we just thank you. We ask you, Jesus, to come into our lives today. We put our eyes on the good shepherd today. Lord, we follow your lead today. We ask you for your forgiveness, for your mercy, for your grace in our lives, that we would follow you all the days of our lives. Jesus, that we keep our eyes on you and allow you to lead us, the good shepherd today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.